this situation here, which I'm going to be talking about, the property where I'm trying to set up is pretty small. It's all small-scale stuff. I've been doing just with hand tools and small amounts of material. We've been there 5 years, so there's still not a huge amount of evidence as to how well it's working, but I think so far it looks good. Not sure how many people are familiar with Swale, the concept, but basically it's sort of like the terracing that John showed. Just a way of using the natural level and the landscape to catch rainfall and spread it out sideways and infiltrate it into the soil. Probably people are familiar with contour lines. That's the map, and that just shows how elevation is depicted, and each line could in theory be a terrace or a swale. And obviously water runs from the top down to the bottom and concentrates in the valleys, and finding ways to spread it out and slow it down and make the most of it. And again, John's already covered this, I suppose, but in Asia it's pretty well known. Lots of cultures are using this pretty effectively to get more output from pretty steep terrain, and it gets pretty crazy. The levels that people go to.
Whereabouts is that?
That's in northern Thailand. It's not somewhere I've been, but just a great picture to show just the type of terrain that you can use it on. Obviously, in those kind of situations, you'd be, again, probably doing it all with hand tools and working probably from the bottom up, and I don't know the exact technique they use to develop them, whether they do it all at once or if they slowly refine them over time.
I saw this in Vietnam. I went to Sapa on the border with China, mm-hmm. and it wasn't quite as, they were a bit wider, the terraces, but it just looked exactly like that.
Right.
And I saw somebody right at the top building a terrace, and I couldn't believe it, and it was like that. All stony, and like you put a
joke
on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the steeper you go, the more narrow the terraces have to be, pretty much.
Yeah.
The biggest danger they face over there are farmers falling out of paddocks.
I believe that.
What surprises me that they can get away with it on such steep stuff without having any, like, real big trees holding it together. You'd think that it would just slip down to the gullies, but
they do need quite a bit of rain.
Yeah, probably keep it that way. So my situation is a lot more modest. This fairly early on, but this little terrace is coming in here, and some of my log swales that are in the process of being created here. But I've already added about 50 of different sizes, and I should explain a little bit about the soil is clay, which helps quite a lot because the rain does stay on top, so you can direct it from place to place using channels, and it doesn't just leach away. The property itself is like a long peninsula. It's really elevated, and so it does dry out pretty quick, but we have pretty good rainfall being close into the hills, and there's streams that run down in the gullies on both sides of the property, so there's water around. It's just a matter of either getting it back up onto the top where we are, or stopping it running off. And uphill of us, there's not really any catchment uphill. It just gets deflected down each side of before it gets to us. So pretty much just what can land on the surface. This probably helps. So where the road is on the right-hand side, that's the sort of the top, the highest point. And anything that lands uphill of the road gets deflected on each side of the road by a ditch, so nothing really comes onto the property from uphill. It's all just what's landed directly out of the sky. So what happens with water when it's running off the landscape is it runs perpendicular 90 degrees to the contour line, so that basically channels and forces and concentrates the water down into the valleys, making them wetter and drying out the ridges. So the idea of like having a terrace or a swale on those black contour lines is the water gets intercepted by that line and gets spread sideways, and it's not all running off. Obviously, once that soil or that ditch can't hold any more. Once it's full to capacity, then it's going to overflow somewhere. And ideally, you want to manage that overflow point so that it's not eroding your terrace or taking away stuff, directing it into a swale, say. So in this situation, this is just a made-up example, but by overlapping, if you created swales where these purple lines are, by overlapping the end of each one and having a spillway, you can divert the water back and forth and zigzag it across the land and give it plenty of time to soak in. I've just put these red lines to show how you might navigate around, because that's one of the issues with these things. Once you start digging up the land and putting ditches and raised piles of logs and stuff, it does make getting around with machinery and stuff a bit more tricky. So planning in advance or as you go, like ways of getting in and out is quite handy. I just include this in case I talk about things elements of the swale system that people know what I'm talking about. But basically this is what it's all about. It's getting a rainfall that's landing up above, catching it before it goes too far downhill, and soaking it into the soil. And there's a few different ways of doing that so that it's less intrusive.
Oh, Mac, you mind going one back?
Oh, certainly.
I just want to say, if you ever going to make one of these, you see the core or the berm that has been created, make sure when you build this new one that you do not compact that one. I've seen so many of them built and they put a digger over that or they go back in, which has actually got just about the exact opposite of what you want to achieve. Your permeability of that water stops doing that and just goes into your swale back and forth.
It's worth noting that because you don't do compaction on it, what I call the interface there, the point where the old ground level was and the new stuff that's piled on top, for the first season or two, you're going to get water just leaching through there. But that's fine. Over time, it kind of becomes unified and becomes a new soil, much more integrated. But yeah, for a while it will leak along there, but that's probably fine. And yeah, the best place really is, well, it depends a little on what sort of things you're trying to grow, but just down here in front here is a nice damp spot. And you can already see in my place where the grass is a lot greener and things are growing quite well down there. With the trench, if the trench is an issue, I'll show a bit further along, but you can have that can be filled with material, logs, shingle, that kind of thing, and become level with the old ground level so that you don't actually notice that there's something going on there, but you can still get most of the effect. These are the basic tools that I've been using, and this is pretty much all you need. If you're going to start doing it on a really big scale, then you probably, you want to use earth-moving equipment and maybe some other technique, finding the level lines like GPS or lasers or something. But for garden and backyard stuff, this is adequate. And, I can show you this tool. It's quickly how to use it. It's a very simple to make. And it doesn't have to be as elaborate as that in terms of being able to fold up. You just create something that's like this. And the idea is that if everything is level, then this pendulum with the string will hang in the center. And so when you're trying to create your line, you start with one leg where the start of the line is going to be, and move this leg around on the ground until you find the other spot that causes this to hang in the middle. Peg it out, flip it around, do it again, and use it like a pair of dividers on the map to step out your line. And this particular one I've tried to create, I've got a plan for it here, in such a way that it's stepping out 1.5 meters each time so you can figure out the length of the line if it's useful. But yeah, it's a very quick and easy way to find a level line. I did mess around with pipes and full of water and it's just not good. This you can do with one person, no problem. And so where would you start with your swale? The most obvious place in my mind is to start with where you've already got a large concentration of water coming off the roof. In my case, smallish house. And so I've got a rainwater tank, and when that's full, it overflows and goes out to what I call my top swale, which is pretty much at the highest point that I can do it on the property, just below the road. And from there, it'll go down. You can follow the path of that through here. So again, this is just a small one that I've done by hand, and I did plan to get this made bigger with a digger so that it can hold more water, because it doesn't actually take that long for that trench to fill up with water. And as it does, it starts at this end where the black pipe comes in and then fills up along its length.
Does the water overflow from your tank into the
air? Yeah, when the tank is full, it has an overflow out of the top of the tank, which joins up with a downspout from the other side of the house, and they both go into that top swale. So yeah, it fills up along its length, and then at the far end it overflows again, and I've got some catchment ponds, little ponds along the way just to help buffer some of the water, because it does fill up reasonably quickly. And yeah, it goes down through, that's the same area a little later, and it goes down through my vegetable garden. So this is before I'd done anything to it, and then afterwards when the swales have been added in here, so sort of makes a path down through these raised beds.
What's your altitude drop? I mean,
what's the gradient of the land?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not particularly steep. I don't actually have a real good measurement of that. It varies from place to place, but it's not as steep as it probably looks there. Just trying to think, have a guess. I don't know, for every metre it might drop like that much. It's pretty minimal. At least in this area here, there is a part where it's a lot steeper.
Whereabouts do you
live? It's north of Cheviot, sort of in towards the hills just before you go on towards the big hills of Kaikoura. So probably slightly higher rainfall than what you get here, I imagine.
You said 1,200 millimetres.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. That's a bit of a guess.
And do you know roughly what your roof area would be?
Probably 80 or 90 square metres.
So you'll be getting 80 to 90 cubic metres.
Possibly. I've got that somewhere on a slide here. Off that house. And so from, yeah, most of the area around the house, including the house roof and a small guest house roof, and land, this, I've got hill up here, drains into this pond. Okay, no, so my calculations were for my property itself, but based on that 1,200 millimetres yearly rainfall, 1.5 hectares is 18 million litres. So there's a lot of rain available. Skip over this one, it's just how to calculate all that. And so part of our sort of strategy of developing the land has been was essentially all just like a massive lawn around the house area with some fruit trees, but we've been sort of turning that lawn into garden, and so using that as opportunities to create more swales and some of these log-filled ones here as well.
Of the rocks on the end?
I think it's because I had them nearby and I wanted to use them without moving them too far, and I thought there'd be some thermal value there, but they're pretty much overgrown now. I'm probably going to move them again because they're annoying to kind of mow around, especially when you're using like a sickle or a scythe. And some of these more, I've created more out further away from the house than what's going to be a young sort of fruit orchard and food forest. But this was all done after already planting the trees, which is not ideal, because I discovered some of these ideas after the fact, and so I've been trying to sort of retrospectively integrate them into existing plantings, which is, at least the trees are not huge, so I haven't been like disturbing the roots and stuff, but it's still not laid out as ideally as it could be. I've experimented with different techniques for trying to stop the grass growing after, you know, after building them, and with cardboard and wood and all sorts of stuff. But I think the best thing that works really well is the quickest, easiest thing is once you've built it, just put big slabs of straw just to stop the grass. Because once you dig out a clod of grass, it still wants to keep growing for quite a long time. So you could probably use plastic sheeting or something, but I don't really like dealing with that, especially we get quite a bit of wind. It's still waiting for my shelter to grow. So here's an area that takes rainfall from the roof of a sort of old pig shed and what we use for our chicken house. And that's October. And 18 months later, just with the extra water, you can see just, and also having all the animals there, a lot of manure going into the, getting washed in there with the rain. When you're setting these things up, you kind of need to consider a little bit how much rain is going to be coming and also the type of soil that you have. So it just sort of influences the shape and the spacing of things. When you're in the clay, they need to be deeper and narrower and wider and shallower and shingly, sandy.
Are there any guidelines that we, like, I can see it's a good visual, but how deep approximately is that? Is that 30 centimetres or is it 60 centimetres? And is that what, a metre wide? Or?
In this particular picture?
Yeah.
These ones here, they're probably about a metre and a half apart. And the actual trenches are probably half a metre wide. But I'd say these are too close together, these particular ones. I put them that close together because I wanted to be able to reach into the centre. In this situation, I'm using the trench part as the path and going to plant into the raised part. But I think they're probably a little close together to really be as effective as they might otherwise be. I mean, it's just extra digging. Probably didn't need to do as much digging there as has been done. I could have done every second one, perhaps.
And how deep, sorry?
Shovel depth, pretty much. I only go down, because the topsoil is, and once you get to the clay, there's not much point digging that out and piling on the top of everything, so just go down to just before the clay, pretty much. Okay, just some lists of things that are good about them. They're low cost, they're not very sophisticated, they're easy to build, they develop microclimates or wind protection. Depending on how you orientate them, you can use them to block the wind. Well, you're kind of fixed on which way the contours are going, but they can block the wind, and having different heights, you can grow stuff in the ditch behind or up on the top. Breaks up the landscape in an attractive way, I think, and can be used to eliminate erosion and runoff, and used to distribute animal nutrient. But yeah, as I said, can make moving large vehicles and wheelbarrows and stuff around a bit more difficult. You can get around it by putting in bridges and culverts or just designing gaps to get through. Or, as I'll show in a minute, you can, and as I said before, like fill sections with, like a culvert, but use shingle and stuff so the water can seep from one to the next and gives you still a way to get through. And if you do it wrong, you can cause probably quite severe erosion or landslides. You did it in the wrong place with too much rain and didn't have the plants in place. And again, another example of trying to fit it in amongst existing trees and stuff. Here's the technique that I was describing, where you can fill the, after you dug the ditch, you can fill it in with gravel and let it grow up, grass over, and it will still hold a lot of water and intercept runoff that's coming from uphill. But you can walk on it and wheelbarrow down there, no problem.
When did you get your information from on how to do it?
The internet, pretty much. Yeah, I think I first came across the concept. It was in some permaculture book that was talking about it, and the author was saying how that he'd been skeptical about it but had put something in and had seen good results, so I thought that it would be worth a try. And I'm in the fortunate position that I'm not really trying to have to make money from the land, so I can experiment with it and just see what happens. And it's the bits that I've played with so far seem to be working quite well, and there's a lot of information on the internet. Some of it's useful, some of it's not, but yeah, there's a lot of good pictures and videos of people putting stuff in. And I think that's where I got most of the information from. But also just playing around, you know, I've been, like I said, like 50 of these things already, and some of them I've learned, you know, where to put them and where not to put them, and where's a waste of energy and where is not. And things like having, it's nice to be able to have some that are, you can get around and, you know, get through places and, you know, some different techniques for coming over different problems.
Have you seen the swales that have been developed in the Rhine and the subdivision out here in Lincoln? They develop swales in strategic positions, like to filter any runoff, like for in an urban environment back down into the lithic. And so the water's filtered down and it's, you know, sometimes the term swales also used for, especially around roading and stuff, is they use the term slightly differently, as actually as a diversion ditch.
So they might be using it in that sense to move water from one place to another to get it away.
And they've got plantings in them, and the purpose, well, they explain it as to filter the water before it gets into the lithy.
Yeah, to get around that confusion, sometimes they refer to these as infiltration swales, and they call these what you're talking about more of a diversion drain, which is more, the purpose is more to get the water away from a location. If it's not perfectly flat, if it's pitched, then it's more of a diversion channel or drain to move the water away. But they can be useful as well. You can move water from one, the overflow from one swale down to the next one. And I've got quite a long element that's also a walking track, and it takes the runoff from a garage and greenhouse and takes it right around. I can go back to one of the staff with a map on it. No. Yes. Right. So this shed and greenhouse here, it basically comes off the front of that and runs all the way around, which is this pink line. The pink line starts here and goes right around the top of that amphitheatre, and so that's pitched on an angle, and most of the water makes it right around the other side before zigzagging through that swale. So there's definitely a place for, they don't all need to be level. Basically, you need to work out the surface area from the top down, not the roof area. You know, you're only interested in what looks like from the top down, and then all the land area as seen from above, and then multiply that by the height and rainfall that you get. Well, it says this at the end, but a lot of this information and this slideshow I've got on my website, so if you want to download it and get into it in more detail. There's other information on there as well.
And your website is?
It's blockhill.co.nz.
Oh, could you write it up on the...
There'll be a link, on the last slide,
okay,
a link.
Thank you.
And the ducks and pigs, they love the swales. And here's an example of building one of these wooden hoogel beds. I haven't used big logs in this one just because I don't have any on the property and want to move a lot of stuff around, but dug out the trench on the contour and packed it with all these prunings and then put the turves and stuff back over top. There's the address.
50 swales sounds like quite a lot of labour. I mean, it saves on the gym membership, of course, but any comments on...
Get woofers.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you had machinery, you could do it, yeah, really quickly.
You haven't done all that yet?
None of that's been with machinery, but I do have a bunch more planned out, slightly larger scale ones, which I'm having a mini digger coming.
But you've had some woofers help you on.
Actually, no, because they didn't follow instructions well enough. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you can get them trained up on what to do.
How long is that taking?
Probably 3 years. I've been working on them slowly. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are quite small. You know, like I don't know, just little sections around trees and stuff. Trying different things, trying different techniques for how quickly I can make them, how little dirt you have to move, things like that. But yeah, it is a lot of work, and
it'll take a while before it looks like that tie picture.
Yes, right. Yeah, no, I don't need to get to that point.
Yeah. Just a word of caution there again. If you ever bring heavy machinery to do this kind of stuff, please do it when it's really bone dry. Even when there is water 50 centimeters deep, you put a 10-ton digger on something, you get the compression way down. You think that you're doing something really nice. It shows up only after 3 or 4 years. And then all of a sudden you'll find that patches just go anaerobic.
Use the smallest earth-moving equipment you can too, I suppose. And just the word we're talking, Nib was talking about, improving the soil. That's another big part of what we've been doing to help maximise the value of these swales is planting up with essentially anything that grows by itself. So I've been using things like fennel because it puts down like massive tap roots, you know, like really, really, really far. But yeah, anything that grows really well that's putting down good roots and then just chopping it, leaving it there, letting it decompose. And as well as burying the logs, I think there's a lot in that as well. But obviously that's quite a bit of work to get material up on top of them or to get them down deep. So if you can just have things that are growing and then hacking them back and leaving the roots down there to break up the soil and to rot down seems to be pretty good.